This episode is brought to you by Vera. With Vera, you can still harness your R skills, but also take advantage of its visual tools to do things even quicker. Plus, Vera allows you to collaborate with the non-coders to get the work done faster by a team. You can connect to any data source to blend and transform for analysis, from SQL to Oracle, Excel, Access, Hadoop, Salesforce, Text, Teradata, Vertica, Amazon Redshift, you name it. And you can do it quickly and easily with a visual drag and drop interface. Vera is currently rated the number one advanced analytics solution by number of reviews and total ratings on Gartner's Peer Insights website. Share your data superhero story, and you can get an official data superhero starter kit at getvera.com. Go be a data superhero. Welcome back to your favorite podcast about all things data. What? It's good. It's good. All things geekery. I'm trying to like amp it. I'm trying to channel the like wrestler vibe. You know, like those UFC crazy things.
I don't think they were enthusiastic. I thought they were angry.
Oh no, they are, but like the announcers. I would never be a wrestler. Ew.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know. I was like this Sunday, it's the Thunderdome.
Right, that's what I was trying to do. Right. Oh yeah, you're right. I should have been more angry. Anyway, hello everybody. We are back this week, and we are back to drink, and we are back to talk about data science. Right? My name is Vidya.
My name is Chris.
And as usual, Christopher Albin, do you have a middle name?
God, am I really going to say my middle name?
Oh, like, yes.
70,000 people.
I hope it's something Rodney. Like Rodney. Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right, Christopher Rodney Albin, what are you drinking?
This week, I'm drinking a nice Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Just like a common, smooth, nothing crazy, just regular, regular.
Tone it down, bring it back home for some sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I am drinking a glass of wine, a lovely champagne, actually, from, what's it called? Gosh, so the champagne has been poured. I don't have the bottle anymore, and I'm forgetting, I'm totally blanking on the name. It starts with an A.
Like it'll a come branding to, opportunity lost.
It'll come to me. It is really good champagne, though, and it's out of Oregon and Argyle. That's my favorite one, Argyle.
Argyle, all right.
And it's got a great, great... a great winery you can hang out. Anyway, this is not about wine. This is about, what is it about? Data science.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so whose turn is it? My turn to start the stories?
You are the first story.
Okay, you guys, I am so excited for this story. So if there is a Janelle Shane listening to this show right now, thank you, Janelle Shane. You are amazing. I have a huge, humongous nerd crush on you. Thank you for your service to humanity. My story this week comes out of Ars Technica diving into lovely Janelle Shane's work using neural networks to come up with paint colors and their paint color names.
All right.
Let's just start off with Stumi Brown as a name for paint color.
How do you spell Stumi?
S-T-O-O-M-Y. Stumi.
What?
Stumi Brown.
Is that a word?
And I'm pretty sure it doesn't look... anything like brown or anything like Stumi. I don't know what Stumi is, but I'm kind of imagining Stumi to be like a foamy white, but it's not that either. And another name color, it's like a sky blue color, and this name is so great, I can't stop thinking about it. Sky blue called gray pubic.
God.
Yes.
Wow, sky blue. Like the neural network is like, looks blue. We're going to name it gray and then pubic. Because right. Fuck humanity.
Thank you, artificial intelligence. This is the best. This is the best. Thank you, Janelle, also. So I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to you. No, you know this, but maybe not on the show. But I live in this old cabin in the middle of a forest. And it sounds charming and romantic. And it is like for a little bit until you realize that, you know, like every animal and every plant is trying to like take over your house, your home. And you're in this constant battle, man versus nature, woman versus nature. And so for the past 6 months, I've been living in this like mediocre hell called house renovation in the middle of the forest, which is difficult. you know, like researching floor materials and spending ridiculous amounts of money on like weird, unexpected discoveries. And my least favorite, picking paint colors, which I would normally love to do actually, because it's just like, seems kind of like a frivolous and simple fun thing to do. But the tricky part is picking paint colors with your spouse.
Wow, yeah.
Right. And somehow trying to make these decisions based off of names of the colors only when your said spouse is at the store and reading them off to you over the phone so that you can pick one. Like, by name. This is an impossible task. Usually the names of paint colors are like ridiculous things that make no sense. Like afternoon walk. He's like, do you want afternoon walk or stormy sunrise? I'm like, I have no idea. This is impossible. But Janelle, with her robot making skills, has made this part of my life a little less hair pulling and a lot more like rolling on the floor laughing. And here's what she did in a nutshell. So let's get back to the little tech thing. Step one, she gave a neural network a list of about 7,700 Sherwin-Williams paint colors, along with their RGB values. RGB basically is like a numerical code for to describe lots of different colors. And the R stands for red, G stands for green, and B stands for blue, and those are the color values. And step two, she chose a neural network algorithm called CHAR-RNN. I don't know, have you ever used this one?
Wait, can you say it again?
CHAR-RNN.
I mean, yeah, like a recurrent neural network. I don't know what the char part is in front of.
Well, it predicts the next character in a sequence. And so her algorithm was sicked on two tasks. The first task was to come up with a sequence of letters that form a color name, and then coming up with a sequence of numbers that map to an RGB value. So basically to come up with paint colors and then to come up with the names of those paint colors. And when this algorithm was unleashed, first it did great on coming up with actual colors, like new colors, which is kind of rad. And then it started kind of struggling a bit to get the names down correctly. First, I think it was just trying to mash up existing names. This is what I also love about like this process. Even with when we did like random other experiments and fun things in the past, the beginning of these experiments, the machine comes up with some ridiculous, hilarious things, almost like every time. So this one, it started off trying to just mash up existing names of colors. Like there's one called Sable. And I'll spell that. It's S-A-E-E space, next word, B-L-E. And I think it's like a mashup of like blue and some other sound. I don't know. So then on round two, the algorithm then had to figure out how to spell the names of normal colors, like call it blue for God's sakes, and not mush them up because, you know, it's just boring. However, it is hilarious on matching the color names with the actual colors. For example, light blue called conch green.
Man.
Like, I want to take these to like a preschool and be like, teach the kids, all screwed up.
You know, I have to ask. So I don't know. So when you do OpenCV, which is like a computer vision library, it actually switches around. I don't remember exactly how it does it, but it switches around. It doesn't use like RGB. It uses like BGR or something like that. Huh. And I'm wondering if it like really it does a bad job at blue.
That's probably, you know what? We know it's kind of crazy you brought that up. I actually just had lunch with the guy who invented, or who was like on the team that invented OpenCV, and he was talking about it. So maybe we'll get him on the show and ask him if he just screwed up on blue.
Tell him I have a love-hate resistance for my whole life.
Okay, I'll tell him that. I will tell him, I'm sure. So anyway, back to lovely Janelle. Her final conclusions are that the neural networks really likes brown, beige, and gray, which, you know, like maybe we have like a very sane, sophisticated interior designer here in the works.
I guess it could be taken like the averages of things, you know, like really kind of like if you had like gray, it's kind of like a mushy, like middle ground, beige is a middle ground.
Yeah, but they're also like good, smart choices so that you don't live in a circus tent.
It's like really good with the homeowner association.
Right, exactly. And then her second conclusion is that their neural network has really, really bad ideas for paint names. I disagree, however. Totally disagree. I think they're wonderful. So I'm imagining Chris, my husband Chris, not Chris Alvin Chris. Oh, God. not this confusion. Mm-hmm. This happens way too often. So we need a new word. So Chris, my husband Chris, I'm imagining him and all his, like, I'm so sick of Home Depot and talking to you about paint voice, saying the following names to me over the phone from the store. Ready? These are like real names that attach to pretty decent colors that this neural network came up with. Okay, ready? Number one, grass bat.
All right. Thinking like baseball, you know, sunny.
I'm thinking like scary vampire bat. Okay. All right. Okay, that one's weird. Light of blast.
I want my house.
I like that one.
Whatever house, I want that house. Can I have the light of blast house?
Yeah, please sign me up. Then it gets hilarious. Bank butt.
It's like a sweaty stain in your pants or something from sitting at the bank all day.
Gross. Then the next one is kind of a good, like, you know, living in the snow is one. Snowbonk.
That's pretty sweet. That's like a startup name.
That is a Snowbonkly. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then we have Stoner Blue, which I totally think is like a real one. Like, I'm surprised it's not already in like the Crayola box.
Twist. It's like red.
Dorkwood. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I feel like I'm like falling in love with this neural network. Dorkwood, that's so good. Then it gets better. Cindy's Poop.
Cindy's Poop. Wow.
Came up with it on its own, man. Right. Cindy's Poop. Then Stanky Bean. Oh, I know. It's so good. And my favorite. Oh, God. This is the best. The name is Turdly. Which, awesomely, looks exactly like what you would expect with that name. Like, it's delightful. Turdly. Oh, contraire, my future BFF Chanel. Your neural network is wonderful and has glorious names for paint colors. Mm-hmm. Take note, Home Depot and Lowe's. This is the future of paint.
I'll say... So, like before anyone sends us a hateful email that we're ragging on Jadelle's neural network,
ragging? This is like a poetic ode.
There will be someone who sends an email, and this is my response to every single email, one of these ones. We are not outsiders looking in. We have trained the stupidest fucking neural networks ever in existence throughout our careers. This stuff is hard, like super hard. And when like Janelle should be praised from high heaven with coming up with Dorkwood.
It's so good.
We come from a place of love and mutual failure.
I do not think it is a failure at all. I think that this, well, basically my whole point is this. My whole point is the goddamn AIs have a sense of humor. Can we please... Can we please just embrace this wondrous thing? You know, like, remember when they made the, was it like a script for a play?
And it was right, it's writing the play. Yep.
Yeah, it was like terribly, amazingly hilarious. I kind of feel like we got to let this humorous side of them out and make it, like, why, I want to say, Chris, husband Chris, we've decided, I want Stanky Bean as the paint color for our studio. I mean, wouldn't that be much more fun than like afternoon showers, you know, before dark on a rainbow? It's like these long, they're trying to make it too cool, I think.
But the best part about this is the name. If the colors are all brown, beige, and gray, like I want Stanky Bean to be like this, like a really bright, like sort of like a reddish adobe, kind of like that, but with like some kind of like stinky green in there, just like a little hint or something. Like the names. I mean, come on, Bankbutt, awesome. Snowbunk, awesome. Dorkwood, awesome. Grassbat, awesome. Light of Blast, awesome. But if they're all beige. It's really
no. It got better. The thing actually got better towards the end. Like, I mean, how you don't know really what Dorkwood looks like, so it isn't all beige. It's just tends more in those directions. But who cares? We don't even have to use it for the paint color part. You know,
But no, but you're buying it for the color. You don't write on the wall stanky bean. You paint it stanky bean.
I mean, if you're the company who makes paint. Jeez, Chris. I mean, this could be inspiration. You could start with the paint color name and then give it to your like paint maker people and then be like, go forth and bring forth Cinda's poop.
Merging AI and human creativity. I really need you to make a color that really reflects Cinda's poop.
I think it'd be amazing.
All right. So the next story goes to me. And my story is a tutorial. It's someone else's tutorial that they wrote. Tutorial?
What? You're going to give me like a step-by-step how-to?
I'm not going to give you a step-by-step how-to. They're going to give you a step-by-step how-to.
But you're going to just read it off? This is boring.
No, I'm good. Oh. Look, I'm going to tell you why it's awesome and amazing, and I want to do it. And then gotcha, we're going to do a step-by-step very slowly as I go through it. No.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, like, this is the thing. Like, most of the people who learn, I guess all the people who do data science, machine learning, artificial intelligence, deep learning, you learn by doing, right? Like you read a book on it and like that's pretty useless. Like you read a book and then you apply it. Like you have to do it. And with a lot of shallow learning algorithms, like this is sort of like Random Forest or SVC or those kind of things, like you could do it on your laptop. Like it's pretty easy. Like it's fine. But an issue comes up because deep learning, which is like hot and cool and like super powerful right now, it really, really, really has a lot of matrix algebra in there. And your computer, which has like a CPU in it and probably not a very big GPU, I'll explain those in a second, is like pretty bad at doing that. Like a CPU on your computer is sort of a general purpose thing for getting stuff done, right? Like it could do linear algebra pretty well, fine. And like it can also like move the mouse, it can also show graphics, it can also like, you know, whatever. Like it's just like a general purpose one. A GPU, which is a graphical processing unit, is like just for graphics, make cool graphics. However, it turns out that graphics are actually highly focused on linear algebra and matrix multiplication and all that kind of stuff. So it turns out that like the stuff that they made a chip for to do, you know, video game graphics is actually the stuff that you need to do deep learning. And that is super cool. And so because your laptop probably doesn't have a GPU, you could do what most people do, and you go on Amazon and you rent one of their, you know, you rent one of their servers. And like that's actually what most companies do. Like most companies don't have laptops or desktops actually running their things. They run it in the cloud so everyone can access it and there's security and that kind of stuff. But it can get like super expensive. Like here's an example. So in order to actually get the instances, sort of like the virtual computers on Amazon, one, you have to request access, but two, like it actually, you know, one of the larger ones that is specifically for doing deep learning, it costs $3 an hour to run. So like think about this for a second. So like if me trying to learn decides that I'm going to run something, and some of these models can take like 48 hours. So like, dude, that's like $100. That's more than $100. That's $150.
Yeah.
To like run to teach yourself, like not for a business thing, just to teach yourself it. And like, there's other ones that are cheaper. Like the one I do is about like $1 an hour and that kind of stuff. But like, it can get super expensive. And like, when I was working my way through like fast.ai, which is like a deep learning sort of like self-paced, like working your way through a thing, like I sort of budgeted like $300 or $400 to pay Amazon to do it. And like it even gets even worse because the price scales based on like how much demand there are for the resources. So like normally that one server I was talking about is about $3 an hour, but before this conference deadline, the conference is called NIPS and it's sort of the big AI conference, like 2 days before the deadline when everyone's rushing to get all of their papers, it skyrocketed to $144 per hour. So it gets like crazy. And then, in addition, like, if you're actually doing deep learning is, like, a large part of it about image recognition, like, hot dog or not hot dog. And, like, you often have a ton of images. Like, you have tons of hot dogs. And the problem with that is that you need to store those images somewhere. So, like, if you're storing, like, a terabyte of images, like, a million images of hot dogs and not hot dogs, like, on Amazon, like, you're paying for that more, you know, all that kind of stuff. And these things can get really, really expensive, which sucks because, like, you really want to learn it, right? You like, it sucks that it costs a lot of money to learn how to do it. And there's ways to get around this. There's things called spot instances where, like, if you're hiring a server, but you're only using, like, you know, you're only using 30% of it, like, I could actually try to get the other 70% from you for super cheap, like probably like a tenth of the price. But then if you ever actually want to use the whole part, my job just ends and it kicks me off halfway done. And like, so, you know, like, there's ways to get around it, but like, none of them are perfect. The simple solution, the super cool solution, the one I need to convince my wife that I should do, is just build your own fucking computer. Like, basically building like a gaming desktop computer, but like not for learning.
That is where your whole convincing your wife thing is breaking down, my friend. You say, I'm going to build a gaming desktop computer, but not for gaming, but for educational purposes.
Yeah, no, because it's deep learning. It's a job skill.
I mean, as true as that is, no one's going to believe that.
It's true. It's probably very true. But like, the thing is that like, building a computer isn't actually that hard, but it's not like super simple either. Like, you don't have to like weld things or solder stuff or anything like that. Like, but you have to buy a, like, you know, probably like 15 pieces of equipment from different vendors. They all have to be compatible. They all have to, you know, like all that kind of stuff. You have to know how to put them in the right order and like how they connect and like all that kind of stuff. It can be daunting, right? Like, and I built a computer when I was younger, but I haven't like built a computer in like a decade. And spending thousands of dollars on something that you only like vaguely know how to do, that like you hope you could probably ask some questions online, is like, that's like daunting, man. And that could get really expensive.
I think it could be just thought of as like a 3D puzzle that's a little bit complicated.
I think so too. But imagine if someone had the solution to the puzzle. And that solution that solution was made by Slav Ivanov, who put together this amazing tutorial, and we will link the tutorial on our show notes because it has like not a very catchy title. Like, I'm not blaming him for it, but I'm saying, like, if I told you the title, you probably wouldn't remember at the end, but we'll link it to the show notes. But he actually built a $1,700 deep learning machine that's significantly faster than some of the ones you can get on Amazon. And what is so cool about it is that he puts you through, like, in excruciating detail, step by step, what you need to do. Like, literally telling you exactly what parts to buy with like a link to the vendor and then like a billion photos of like, you know, like this is how you put in the CPU and you have to put this little dial down. And you, if you bought the pieces that he says, you're going to have the exact pieces that he has in the photo and you just do exactly what Super he has in the cool. photo. And then he goes on like all the way, like how to put every single piece in, how to, you know, install the operating system, That's what awesome. You should know if you want to install Windows on it. And, you know, Linux or just Linux, if you want a graphical version of Linux, like with the mouse that you drag around, or you just want the command line. He goes all the way up, putting in the deep learning, you know, stack, drivers to the graphics card, all the way up to getting a Jupyter notebook. Like, even he has it that you could actually had a headless computer, so like the computer doesn't have a screen, and you actually just connect to it via your laptop, so like you can have the computer in your basement and you just connect to it. And he has like super detailed instructions. It is so cool. And he's benchmarked it, so like he knows it's way faster. Like,
I love that.
Really awesome. It's $1,700 and probably like a day. Like, I think it would probably take me afternoon or a day to like work through it, and I could have this like amazing deep learning / gaming desktop.
And you could, on the 2 days before the NIPS conference, you could rent out your $1,700 deep learning machine for only a bargain basement price of $143
an hour. So, I mean, like, it's a little bit hard because, like, my wife and I are trying to pay off our student loans. So, like, blowing $1,700 on a desktop is, like a stretch.
Well, you should give it as an investment into your entrepreneurial adventure.
I think it's getting kind of, I think it's getting time. Like, my AWS bill is getting to the point that, like, maybe I should just bite the bullet and do it. But, like, what I just loved about this is that idea of building your own computer has always been kind of like a slightly daunting concept for me to do. And I have found different guides for building computers, but they're actually built for like gaming computers, which, like, I actually don't want a game. Like, I don't care. I don't want your Windows set up, like all that kind of stuff. But I really, really, really want a deep learning machine. And this is a great guide. And I think it came out I think it either came out the day before we're recording this. So like, it's like, it just like, basically if you're listening to us now, it came across like a week ago. So it's like super new. It's awesome. And I guess, you know, if you wanted to, you could like expand on what he's trying to build. But I just loved that he sat down and
that's awesome.
Put it in excruciating detail. I know.
Such a good, kind-hearted. Good job, Slav. You're awesome. You know, you could timeshare this. I feel like there's a lot of business opportunities here.
Setting up your own.
Well, you could just get like four other, like, you know, three other friends, and each of you pays like whatever, $450 or whatever it is, which is nothing. And then you have four people. Like, you're not going to use it that much all the time, only when you run your thing.
It's true. The one thing I don't know about this, though, is that, so like, for a long time, it was basically only Amazon that would, like, basically you could do deep learning on. And now, like, Google's come in, like, a few years ago, Google came on. And basically you have two, right? So you have, like, Amazon and Google, and they're kind of, like, fighting back and forth for you to do your deep learning on their cloud. But now, like, everyone is stepping up game, like, their game. So for example, NVIDIA mm-hmm. is a maker of a graphics card. And, like, they were basically for gamers. Like, that was their pitch. Like, oh, your game's faster and super cool and looks super pretty, blah, blah, blah. And then they realized that all these academics were doing all their deep learning on their gaming, like, on their gaming cards. And so now they've switched over, and they're launching their own cloud service.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there's actually, like, a number of people who are building cloud services their own, because, like, yes, just specifically for deep learning. And I really hope this drops down the price a lot for this kind of stuff, because awesome. Like, if you just want to have a computer in the cloud, like AWS, like a non-deep learning one, you know, like, you can get it for like 30 cents an hour or something like that, or like, you know, like I think the cheapest one is like 10 cents an hour. And like, I've done a lot of deep learning on that, because like, you know, like, you just set it and then you come back 4 days later and like, you don't care, it's been running the whole time, like, whatever. And like, I would really like it to get cheaper, which is why I don't know if maybe I should like hold off investing $1,700 to build like my own machine that slowly gets outdated, or invest $1,700. But like, I'm already spending.
Yeah, you know. I think you should make it like a fun thing and grab some friends and do it together, and then you guys have this thing.
That could be cool. You could, yeah, because you could like
sounds
set
like a
your
fun weekend like thing to do with a couple of friends. Actually,
I kind of wonder if that's what they do in academic departments. Like, they just have their own kind of setup going, and then the students can use. I guess not if they're
because $1,700 is a lot, but actually compared to what you would spend, especially with four people spending it all or whatever a number of people who would use it, like timeshare it, because you're not using it 100% of the time. So there's just it's not actually being used to capacity. You're not even getting $1,700 worth of it off of it.
Yeah,
all the time.
That's a good point. So basically, my only point in saying this is that I know there are a good number of listeners out there who really want to get into deep learning. I've mentioned before some of the cool resources you could do to do that, but the actual practicalities of you know, running the models, this is a step-by-step guide. So if you've never built a computer before, and at this point I would basically be in that boat because it's been a long, long time since I've done that, this is an excruciatingly detailed guide about how to do it specifically for deep learning. $1,700. It's pretty awesome. Thanks, Slav.
Yeah, good job, Slav. That sounds like a total service. I love finding stuff like that. That's the show. What?
It is.
It's that time. It's that time, you guys, where we have to say goodbye. Are you gonna like sing a song to take us out?
Like
Chris Albin?
Some like AI driven song, like the stanky sinus poop song or something like that.
Well, that would be great. Yes. See, that's inspiring you already. I think we can just use these machines to inspire our own creativity, and then then we'll see who wins. Okay. That's it for the show this week. Thank you all for hanging out. If you like what you heard, tell us and say hi to us on Twitter. Mention a comment or write a comment to us on iTunes. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at @partiallyd. You can follow me at @vid_spandana. You can follow Chris at @chrisalbin. And you can follow Jonathan at @jonathanmorgan.
Who's not
have
here.
A great, yeah, who's not here, but he will be probably next week. Mm-hmm. Have a great week.
Bye, all.